When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to The Villain Was Right, the podcast where we look at movies and TV from the villain's perspective and dare to ask, were they really all that bad? I'm your host, Rebecca Reeds.
And I'm your host, Craig Faye.
And this week we're doing Final Destination.
Yeah, Final Destination. Audience choice, you guys voted for it. And I guess another very special thing, are you guys noticing any difference in sound quality or no lag between us? Oh my God, everybody, we're back in person.
Yes! I could touch Craig right now if I want to. I won't, but I could. I could do it.
So we're very excited about that. We're excited to be doing this movie. This was very much a landslide victory in our audience choice.
Was it? Yeah. This is silly. This is silliness. I like when we cover silliness. This movie's bananas. I had never seen this movie before.
You've never seen it before.
Oddly enough, I looked it up. I've seen the third one.
Oh, is that the roller coaster one?
Yes, it is the roller coaster one. And the only reason I know I've seen the third one is because I kept waiting. I couldn't remember which one I had watched. And I kept waiting. I was like, oh my God, they're going to get into the tanning booth. They're going to get into the tanning thing. And it just never happened. And I was like, oh, thank God it wasn't this one. Because that's the only thing I remember from that movie is that girl in the tanning bed just getting, as a translucent and claustrophobic person, I was like, that is the most nightmarish thing I've ever seen in my life.
And I don't think I've seen the third one, but we did have a couple listeners when we announced we were doing Final, Final Cut Pro. What am I doing? Final Destination. They were like, oh yeah, that scene with the I never want to drive behind a truck carrying logs again in my life. And that was Final Destination 2.
There
where,
you
like,
go.
Yeah, yeah, where a whole bunch of logs come off of a truck. But this is the airplane one.
Yes, if you're wondering which one this one is, it's the airplane one. It's the original.
Yeah, the OG Devon Sawa looking creepy for doing nothing like only he can. How does he make surviving a plane crash look creepy?
I don't know. Like, oh my God.
So I guess if you haven't seen this movie, I guess the general plot is basically Devon Sawa, who is Alex, I think his name is like they're a high school field trip to Paris and they're all getting on the plane. And he has a vision that the plane, a very detailed and specific vision that the plane is going to explode right after takeoff. He freaks out, right? They gets kicked off the plane, whole bunch of other students get kicked off with him. And then after the plane takes off, it does explode. And that's like the setup for it. And then we learn that death is trying to even the score.
Ooh.
And set things right because they weren't supposed to get away. And then there's like just Rube Goldberg-esque.
Yes! I literally, that's my note. Death is Rube Goldberg reincarnated.
Yeah. To just kill off the people who survived the plane crash. And like, I don't know, we could go into the specific deaths and stuff. Like some of them are, it's crazy. Like there's, like, I think the teacher is the worst.
The teacher is, that scene is so funny because of how over the top it is.
Yeah.
It's so over the top.
Well, and so I had seen this movie before, and I will just quickly I'll quickly say this, which is rewatching it was actually nice because this movie actually freaked me the fuck out when I watched it the first time. Not in like, I'm actually scared watching it, but like afterwards when I went into the world, I was like, well, anything can kill me now. And rewatching it now, I was like, oh no, this is ridiculous.
I would love to see you just like no liquids are allowed near your computer desk. You're like, you know the rules.
I mean,
do you remember Final Destination?
I mean, I do that anyway.
Yeah.
but not because I think the monitor's going to explode. Oh, yeah. Because I have expensive electronics that have gotten wet before. But anyway.
I've got real chaotic energy. I just, yeah, I'm bringing wine glass, whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
liquid
yeah.
at my desk.
And before we get to who we think the villains of this movie are, it's pretty obvious, but we'll say it explicitly anyway in a bit. We want to thank today's sponsor, NordVPN. Guys, if you do not have a VPN, you absolutely should have one. It is so important for internet security. Like you like to be secure on the internet, right?
Oh, I just want everything to be a little super secret. You know what I mean? And I just assume it never is. But I like how easy this is. Like I say this 100 times on the podcast. I don't know what's going on with computers. Okay. I don't know what's going on, but this was so easy to sign up for. It was really fast. You can switch your location whenever you feel like breezy switches. I can teach people how to do this. It took me 10 seconds to get my boyfriend on board to be like, hey, this is how we do this. We're done. So easy, very secure. We need to get on board with these things, I think.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And, like, in addition to, like, so, like, a VPN, it's a virtual private network, what it is, right? So it hides your identity and all the information that you're sending back and forth. So, hey, we're getting back into the world again, right? If you're using public Wi-Fi or things like that, that is not secure. So if you have a VPN on your computer, you can just switch it on and you're totally protected. And hey, maybe you haven't seen Final Destination, and maybe Final Destination isn't available on the streaming services where you are. Well, guess what? NordVPN, you can change countries and gain access to the different catalogs of streaming services in different countries. It's absolutely wonderful. So make sure you check it out. And
so go to NordVPN.com/villain. That's NordVPN.com/villain and use code villain to get a 2-year plan plus a bonus gift with a huge discount. So get over there and get one of those. And now back to the lunacy that is Final Destination. I can't handle this movie. I was losing it the whole time. It's so funny and weird and
oddly paced in certain points.
Yes, certainly. And I gotta tell you, if I'm this guy, I'm not chasing these people down. I'm not, okay? I'm not putting my hand on the knife. I'm not going for any of these things. He made a lot of decisions. I don't think I would.
Fair enough. Yeah, so you wouldn't help your classmates out?
Tough stuff, okay? Because I think if the house is already on fire and the knife is already in you, that's where I stop. You know what I mean?
Like,
there's a moment where you gotta go, okay.
Yeah, where we've got we've lost already.
Yes.
This is diminishing returns at this point. Yeah, absolutely. So I think we need to just, for the sake of the podcast, explicitly state it. Who do you think the villain of this podcast is, or not, of this movie is?
So, okay, I actually think there's two villains.
Oh, interesting.
Okay, I think there's two villains. Number one villain is Death, obviously.
Okay, obviously.
Death is coming. It's got a plan. Okay. And the second one being the agents that are trying to chase him down, trying to see if he's responsible for these things.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of impeding his ability to help his friends.
Fair enough.
So I would say those are two villains, and I think they are both defensible.
Yes, absolutely. So I peg, you're right. I didn't even peg the FBI agents, but you're absolutely right. They do oppose him. For me, I'm all about Death. Okay. So Death is clearly the villain in this. Man, here I am. Death isn't all bad. You know what I mean? Death is like, we're talking death, I think, because there's two things. There's death as a concept, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then there's death as a character in this movie.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm going to separate those. So first of all, death as a concept, we need death. You know, there is no life without death. Mm-hmm. It's contrast. There's no sunny days without cloudy days, right? There's no pain without pleasure, or pleasure without pain, right? Life is contrast. You will not live your life fully and appreciate it if you're going to live forever, right?
Oh, plus anytime somebody says I want to live forever, I'm like, that is exhausting. Wow, I'm tired. Even just at the thought of that, I'm like, that is so, I don't have that kind of energy in me,
right?
Man.
Yeah, exactly.
Forever? forever. Like, I mean, I could tack on a, you know what I mean, 50% more, maybe 100% more, maybe, let's see. Okay, but like, forever, no.
Yeah, because no, life is sweeter when you contrast it. It's a necessary part of life, right? Yeah. It's how nature renews itself. A tree dies in the forest, mm-hmm. right? And it falls over, and now the sun can reach the forest floor and new trees thrive, right? It's rejuvenation, it's refreshing, you know?
I don't know if I would go that far. I'm more of the argument that he cheated.
You're saying he cheated?
Yeah.
Alex.
Yeah.
Devasawa.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't think so. Let's hear you. What's your point?
Well, he cheated. Okay. If ghosts are cheating, this is cheating. Okay. These are my terms.
Okay.
If ghosts are cheating, that's cheating. Okay. Obviously, I have to assume death has not come across a lot of psychics before. Otherwise, we would hear more of these amazing, incredible deaths all the time within this universe. Correct. Okay. I mean, I've had a lot of crazy dreams. I've never hauled anybody off of a flight. Not once. And they've been real specific. Okay. So I think, yeah, I'm going to make the argument that he went outside of the normal rules of humanity.
Okay.
Okay. Stepped outside of them, thus making it a game, and then was then involved in the game.
Mm.
And it is a game. Because you can win.
Mm, okay.
Because you can still cheat. You can still manipulate the rules. It is very much a game.
Yeah, I would say so. I wouldn't say he cheated. What I would say is, see, I've been doing this podcast too long because I was immediately sympathetic to death for this because... No, because I would say, like, because this movie reeks... of somebody who is new to their job, okay, is making lots of mistakes that amateurs do, and
like this person's just in charge of this region of death, yes. And their first day just went off the rails.
Well,
and they're desperately trying to fix it.
Exactly.
Hilarious.
And I think we've all been a little too committed to a plan at one point, right? Where you're like.
That's so funny.
Like you're on a vacation and you have an itinerary and you're like, we're going to see this, you're going to see this. And as soon as it gets sidetracked, no one's having fun anymore, right? That's what I think. And I also think that this is like real junior level death. I think there's more than one death because the only kind of death that this, our final destination death can facilitate is accidental death. Right? The simplest solution to this whole problem is just have everyone drop dead of a heart attack. But it can't do that. And this is the other reason I feel so much sympathy for our little version of death here, is it has to work with what it has.
Yeah.
We're talking about the Rube Goldberg machine, but Rebecca, I know you've done this,
mm-hmm.
where you've had to make dinner with an empty cupboard.
Yeah.
And you're like, what do I got? And you're like, I got a half a pack of ramen noodles. I've got a thing of ketchup and some pickles. How do I make a dinner out of this? And that's what this death is working with, right? He's like, there's a leaky faucet and like kind of a loose drying line in the bathroom. How do I turn this into a death?
That's so, I gotta tell you, Craig, a half pack of ramen noodles is the saddest unit of measurement I've ever heard in my entire life. That's the fucking saddest thing. A half a pack of ramen noodles. Woo!
Because somebody said, no, better save this for later.
Woo! That's so funny, man. Okay. I love this thought process so much. I love it so much because I'm literally just picturing Kevin with the chili.
Yes.
Like just trying to get it back in the pot. Like, shit, these teens got away. Yeah. I'm like, what am I going to do? I'm going to be in so much trouble.
Like, yes. I'm going to be, the line I wrote down was, all I had to do was crash this airplane. Teenagers got off the airplane. Oh no, my boss is gonna kill me. And here, if I could bring it back to your he's cheating point for
That's
a second.
So fun. Okay, yes. Please.
So you think he's cheating? I think there is some clause, some caveat.
Okay.
where they have to give a little warning, but this guy is so obvious in it, and it never is obvious to anyone else. Like, it's supposed to be like, I'm about to get hit by a bus, and you notice that there's a bus transfer that floats through the air. Not seen an actual bus in the window. Like, yeah. They just do not get the subtlety of what they're supposed to be doing.
That's so true. There is no so he's just like making all these real this energy, this yeah. being, you know, first day on the job, obviously. Because what other entity is spending the first 3 minutes of a film possessing a fan? I'm sorry. Okay. Did you notice that long, creepy fan for like 3 minutes off the top of this movie? And I'm like, why? Why was this fan a big deal? Anyway, that was killing me. I love that so much. But yeah, I love this idea of just him. It's his first day. He doesn't know how to, or this thing doesn't know how to be subtle. I don't know why I keep saying he.
I don't know.
I gotta stop doing this.
That's like a, yeah.
This energy source. Okay. This energy source.
I think feminism would be like, you know what? You can have death. That's fine. The patriarchy can have death incarnate.
Yeah. This guy's just, or this, I did it again. This energy is just not good at its job yet.
No, they're
is
terrible.
Is not
it.
Subtle at all. This kid's just kind of like, I don't know, like psych or something, and just can read some clues.
Yes.
Just like is awake. And was like, oh, okay. Seems like it's coming.
I picture it as like this, where they're like, okay, first day on the job, all you got to do is crash this plane. Really easy, no problem, take care. And as the boss is leaving the room and goes, oh, by the way, forgot to mention, you do have to give them a sign first. It's just a weird rule, just a little subtle sign. Yeah. And then they just telegraphed it like nothing else. And can we please get to my favorite premonition in this? So I wrote down the order of these premonitions as they happen, okay? So the first one is a very vivid dream on the airplane. Right, this is exactly how it's going to play out. He freaks out and leaves. Very, very specific. The second one, when his friend Dodd dies, he's reading a nudie magazine. An owl flies to his window. He throws the magazine at the owl, hits the fan. Which chops up the magazine and throws a piece of paper at him that says Todd. And I was just like, how do you go from vivid dream to, I don't know, man, throw a nudie mag at an owl?
What told you? Porn did, actually. I was looking at some pornography and...
I threw it at a fan.
That's so, wow. Yes, I threw it at a fan because an owl.
I think at some point someone was like, what is the creepiest bird that could fly up to his window? And they came up with owl, which is weird, but like.
Well, because the answer is not owl.
Yeah.
It's crow. It's raven. It's
like, some sort of, yes, absolutely.
Some sort of symbol of death, maybe. I can't remember what this movie's about.
Harry Potter? Is that, that doesn't exist yet. Don't worry about it. yeah, so I feel the utmost sympathy for death here.
I wanted to ask you, which... out of any of these ways to die, if you got to choose, which one do you think you're picking?
I mean, they're all horrific.
Oh, absolutely. Like, if I could pick anything else other than what I've seen, yes. But.
So, obviously, airplane crash. Mm-hmm. What do we got? We've got, and then definitely not the dude who slips in the bathtub and gets the rope caught around his neck.
Oh, yeah.
That's absolute nightmare. Is the teacher next? Oh no, the girl Vicky or whatever hit by a bus. The teacher, definitely not.
Oh,
The series of events here are, she pours hot tea into a mug, freaks out because it's a mug for the school, pours it out, puts cold vodka in the mug, which cracks the mug. So she's then dripping vodka everywhere, leans over her computer monitor, the old cathode ray tube, the CRT, the big ones they had, explodes because it gets like a short circuit or something. She gets a piece of glass through the neck. Then how does it catch on fire?
Because it exploded and because it was vodka, they're like, okay, well, this will just like, the drip drops of vodka are just going to light this fire down into the kitchen where she had the gas on, allegedly,
yes,
or whatever. And then she's trying to pull the cloth off to like, I don't know, to cover her neck. Pulls the knives off and stabs herself.
And then a chair falls over and drives the
this
knife.
This is really the quit hitting yourself of death. This is like, I think what got me the most about that scene is it was like, it was just everything that she was doing was leading up to. I'm like, this is just a couple of slaps in the face. You know what I mean? You could have ended this anywhere. But yes. No.
So certainly not hers.
No.
I
think unexpected decapitation, I would say.
Oh, Sean William Scott?
Yeah.
I loved how he was just riding. Like, his entire character was just, I rode my bike around everywhere.
Yes, and almost got hit by a car several times.
Yeah. I think I might go with, I mean, I don't want to get hit by a bus either, but that seems like the most normal kind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no one would ever be like, oh my God, did you hear about how Craig died? He was by the train tracks and a piece of metal flew out and like cut his head off. You'd be like, he got hit by a bus. It's tragic, but it's not like a horror story. You know what I mean?
No, I wouldn't be mind. I wouldn't mind if I was some sort of lore around a campfire. That'd be fine.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Yeah,
that'd be okay by me. You know what I mean? A couple of kids terrified, sure.
How about you? What would you go with? You?
Oh, yeah.
The cabinet?
Yeah, I think so. I kept trying to think the entire time. I'm like, which one's the least worst? They're all awful, though. It's hard to choose.
Well, yeah, there's not a very subtle,
awful on purpose.
Yeah. That's the kind of the horror of the movie.
But like, some of it's just so funny. Like the leaking toilet, like the cleaner coming out of it and stuff. Like, the stuff that would kind of get moved or possessed, or like when he was like, oh, you're going to give me tetanus. I'm like, what? Like, I was just screaming in my own home when he said that. Oh, fuck. I was dying.
Yeah.
Tetanus. I was like, that's a slow burn. You're at the end of your rope. You don't know what you're doing.
Yeah. So like, I wrote this down where he's in this like cabin and he's like put pillows and tape all over everything.
And yeah, that makes sense though to me. When he was corking up those nails, yeah, I was like, hell yeah, buddy. Yes.
For sure.
You've seen this thing in action. You get it.
I mean, maybe it's because I saw this movie when I was little. I do that anyway. It drives me crazy if someone's got their like cell phone, like, half off the table. I'm like, what are you doing? I need to move it. If pot handles are turned out, I need to turn them in. Because like, I heard that once as a safety tip, because you're going to walk by, hit the handle, and the scalding water is going to fall on you, right?
Probably,
so,
yeah.
So like, I turn them in all the time. And like, so I don't trust anybody else with fireworks, knives, or power tools. I just don't. I can use them fine, but everyone else is going to blow their hands off. Because they're not being aware. So like, for me, I was just like, that's kind of how I operate normally. Not to like that excess, but.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I'm in that category.
I guess I'm of the category of what idiot put a nail hanging out of the wall like this?
Oh, I see. Yeah. For me, it's kind of like, well, what idiot would trip here? Come on. Come on, get it together.
But to me, when he's in that shop, it's like, he's not going to die, but that also, ain't living, right?
That's not living, but that was also like, you don't, this isn't where you go. This,
oh, middle of the woods?
Everything's broken. Everything, I'm like, everything's disgusting. There's hooks, there's nails, there's stuff everywhere.
There's trees right above it. Like, what's going to stop a tree from falling over? Death can control the wind.
Yeah. I mean, I'm bad. I'd probably just, honestly, if I was in that position, I would probably just be inclined to go, okay, how do I want to die? And let's set it up that way.
Yeah.
What's going to be easiest for me? And let's do that, maybe.
Yeah. I think the point at which death is constantly at your door trying to like set it even, I'd be like, yeah, you win, man. Like, this is inevitable.
When they go to Paris at the end, I'm like, I can't tell. I had such mixed feelings about that. I had some hard mixed feelings. Because I was like, okay, I get it. Like, it's like something where it's like, okay, you guys have to live your life now. There's something to be said about moving forward. But I was like, Paris specifically.
I mean, I got it in the sense of, this completes the journey. Mm. Like, this was our original destination. This is now our final destination. And like, it's a nice like cap on things. And then there's of course the reveal that they haven't actually escaped death. And like,
yes!
It just kind of,
it ends with the dick of the movie just kind of getting,
oh, I hated,
wiped
that guy.
Out by a sign.
Why was he so mad about everything and violent all the time? I did not understand that character one bit. He was mad at him for saving his life. Then he was mad at him for, like, because he thought that he had to be grateful for saving his life. Then he was mad at him that he didn't save the life of his girlfriend. And then he was just, like, driving around like a maniac. Like,
oh, for me, that can all be explained with this person's 18. Tell me I'm wrong.
Fair.
Right?
You're not wrong.
Come on. I think sometimes we forget because, like, you know, a lot of these actors are, like, aged up. But, like, they don't look like an 18-year-old would look like necessarily.
Right.
So you're kind of like, oh, well, like, I'm watching a 25-year-old right now. But these characters are supposed to be 18. So I'm like, I can excuse somebody being an 18-year-old being a total dick after watching their whole class explode. Like, passable. Like, I know he's the dick of the movie, and I don't think he makes all the correct choices. But I'm like, I get being an asshole, man. Like, this is a nightmare. Like, even
tough
when
situation
the,
for sure.
Yeah, even like the teacher, like, this would freak me out. I think there's a lot to be said of, like, there's these side characters that are like, oh, like, they're wrong because they won't listen to him. And it's like, I don't know if I'd listen to him either. Like, this True. Is a really insane situation of, like, you're alive, but you're very confused as to what happened. You probably have, like, survivor's guilt, like, crazy.
Oh, definitely.
There's a lot of emotions going on, and then there's this kid showing up being like, you're next! Like, oh! Yes! Okay, because, like, it is too unbelievable. There would be a part of your logic brain going,
he's responsible.
He did something. Like, this kid did something to the plane or whatever, and then tried to, like, look like the hero or something like that. Like, when the kid's dad, like, when his best friend's dad won't let him see, like, won't let those two characters see each other because he's like, listen, like, I've got a dead son. What is going, no, this is, I shut it down. I don't like it. It freaks me out. I don't care for it. Yeah.
Which kind of leads you to the point you made about the other villains in this who aren't actually villains.
Mm-hmm. The agents.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, so we have these two, are they FBI? I can't remember. I think they are FBI.
I think they're FBI because of, like, planes.
And, yeah. they're FBI because of planes.
Sorry, that was a bit of a mental shortcut, but because Federal Aviation Authority is a federal thing, transportation is federal, therefore
yes.
people investigate it.
But that was a perfect leap. I love that. Yes, absolutely, because of planes.
FBI because planes.
So yeah, like, these guys obviously go, if anything, I would argue maybe they should have held him longer. I would be like, listen, we're going to dig into this a little more. And it's kind of never explained how he's just free to go later.
Yeah,
just because she's alive, I guess. They're like, well, you didn't kill this one, so.
And then immediately he shows up at her house when she's dead.
Yeah, like, like, I think I don't know. I think these guys pursued, and even the one agent says, like, I kind of believe, like, there's,
yeah,
like, this kid creeps me out. There's a part of me that kind of believes him, which to me would be like, oh, you're just being very observant. Like, yeah, you're a good agent because this kid at 1000% believes himself. Now, whether that's right or wrong, whether this person is having like a breakdown or whatever, this kid does believe this.
Yeah. And 100%, if I survived a big accident like that and then the other survivors started turning up dead, I'd be like, I'm next. I'd be paranoid.
Absolutely. So I kind of get the dynamic of like, okay, like, stay away from me.
Yeah.
I think the only person I don't get is, I can't remember her name.
Clear River is her character's name.
Yeah. It is not.
It is Clear River.
Stop that right now. How did that not even enter my brain?
I looked it up at IMDb and I was like, they've got to explain this in the movie, right? Like, no, they just named this character Clear River. And yeah, played by Ali Lartner. Clear Rivers.
Clear Rivers. Okay. Listen, oh my goodness.
I'm just going to say this right now. If your last name is Rivers, you can't have any kind of clever name in front of that. Like anything that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I could get that. Absolutely. No, her motivations of just like, I'm like just connected to you. I'm like, mm-mm. Every time I've seen somebody have a meltdown.
Right.
You know what I mean? We live
so because you're saying that when he freaked out and got kicked off the plane, mm-hmm. she was just like, I felt
yeah.
that you were right.
Yes.
Right.
That to me is the wildest leap of this movie. Because like for this guy, like I get it because this is in his head, right? He's having a freak out, whatever. These other kids got kind of shuffled into the mix.
Sure.
Okay. And one got off because it was like, okay, my friend's like having a meltdown. I should get off too. I'm going to be a good friend. But she is just like, I have a feeling that your feeling is correct. And that to me is the biggest leap because I have seen, we live in Toronto, everybody.
Yeah,
we live in Toronto. I've seen my fair share of people have a meltdown. And I'll tell you, I would say 99% of the time, for at least 3 seconds, I'll go, well, maybe. Let's just give it a minute. Let's see what this person's talking about. Let's see what we're up to, right? But then the other part of my brain goes, no. That person's having a very bad day right now.
Yeah.
And that's it. Okay. Now, of course, in the course of this movie, she makes the right decision to get off the plane. That was correct, I suppose. But still cheating.
You think it's cheating?
No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, it's literally they've cheated death is the whole plot of the movie. And we even have that creepy coroner. So they break into.
Oh, okay.
Who just
can you explain this person to me and what this is?
No.
Because that scene was the. Okay. This whole movie is kind of nuts, right? But like you can buy into it. Like it's not a great movie, but I can buy into like the logic and the reasoning of the movie or whatever. Like,
yeah.
But that person specifically, I'm like, I actually don't understand what's happening right now.
I'll take a swing at it.
Yeah.
But this is only a swing because I can't. Absolutely. I think the screenwriters were like, I don't think the plot of this movie is explicitly stated well enough. Let's introduce a guy who would know a lot about death. I don't know, the mortician, and just have him creepily explain that death has a plan. That's it. I think that's like, the whole point of that character is to be like, in case you didn't catch it, this is what death is doing.
I just think if I'm a character in this movie, I'd be like, let's go back to that guy. He might have some more answers.
Right?
He seemed to know a lot. maybe he's got some books or like some historical artifacts or something we can look at. Because
has this happened to somebody else? How do you know about this?
It was almost like they were like, oh, well, thanks for not calling the police, mister. Let's get out of here. Like, what? You're about to die. Who cares you broke into this place? Like, well, no harm, no foul. We'll get to going. Thanks for the limerick. I'll get out of here.
No, like, I don't think no harm, no foul applies to break and entering. You know what I mean? Like, I think no harm, no foul was like, oh, ran a stop sign and almost rear-ended you there. And yeah, oh, we didn't hit. No harm, no foul. Not, I'm going to break into a morgue to look at our dead friend's body.
No, but this guy's...
That's harm and foul.
Oh, absolutely.
That's all foul.
I think on the scale of what this guy thinks is a foul is probably pretty different. He had a vibe about him. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
He kind of seemed like he'd been making soup out of people all afternoon or something. Like, it's... he was really intense, really fast. He had a lot of answers for questions I didn't even have. Yeah. I had to be honest with you. I started this and I was like, I'm just going to turn my brain off a little bit.
Yeah.
Just going to shut it down just a little bit just to cruise through this. As soon as we went off that 2-minute shot of the fan, I was like, what is this? Like, could not. I don't know why.
Just like over the opening credits.
Yeah, over the opening credits. It's just this fan and creepy music with the Raptors sticker behind it.
Yeah, there was a Toronto Raptors lamp. I think it was an actual lamp.
Yeah.
So it was all lit up, which we just did Space Jam last week. So we got basketball in mind. But the other thing, I'm so glad you brought that up because so much of this movie is just like, it's framed as ominous when it's absolutely not at yes. all. Like the one scene where it's like the dad, he's about to go on a trip and he's like, what did he say? Live it up. You've got your whole life in front of her, in front of you. And then there's like a thunderstroke and they just like pull thunderclap, lightning, like anyway, then it just pulls in on Devon Sawa again, looking creepy for no reason.
Yes. Yes.
It's, yeah, and like so many other things that are like ominous and like
it's just music and a long shot. This is a razor. Think about what could happen with it.
You got your whole life ahead of you. Alex, did you hear me? I said, why are you just staring off in the distance like that, Alex? You got your whole life out of you. So what are you going to do?
This is a pretty blanketing statement that a lot of people say.
Yeah.
Alex, I wouldn't take too much stock in it.
I'm going to slip some rubbers in your bag because you're going to Paris. This part bothered me so much. So the plane crashes. I just need to get this off my chest because this is logistics. Plane crashes and then they go 39 days later. And they're at a memorial and they unveil a statue with engraved with all the victims' names. That is the most unrealistic thing in this entire movie.
You stop right now.
How do you commission and have a monument made in 30... Commission, fund, and have it built... A sculptor has to work on that, installed and dedicated within 39 days. That's too fast. That's too fast. Did you get this monument at like a kid's karate trophy? Like, did you have it engraved at the mall? Like, what? You need to pay someone to do that. 39 days is ridiculous. They must have just had it ready. There was like another tragedy and they only got to like halfway funding on it. And so the artist stopped and they were like, fine, let's just get it out of storage or something. I don't know. Or it was like some high school kid's art project. I don't know. It's too much. It's too much. It's insulting 39 days. If you get, Rebecca, if I died in some terrible accident and you had a monument up for me in 39 days, I'd be like, fuck you. You didn't even grieve. You were on the phone the next day for those times.
I want to present the illusion of grieving. Can we do that? Can we present the illusion of grief? That's so funny. I love that that's your... And I just clocked in the 39 days thing. Because you're right. 39 days goes by... And we're dropped into these people's lives again where they're all alive still. It's 39 days later. But now with your pitch of character, all I'm picturing is somebody in a basement with like a crazy map on their wall. All right, so then I'm going to do this. Okay. Just like had to go like no communication, had to go off grid to try and fix this plan.
Figure out what they have, what they have to work
with. Yeah, yeah.
They're and they're so bad.
Just bags of Doritos everywhere. Yeah. Like, just trying to figure it out. Like, yeah.
Pots of coffee. And like,
my family's going to disown me.
I need this job.
Oh my God.
And they're so bad at it that even when the kids are racing down the street in this car and like running red lights, doing things that are very dangerous, Death can't capitalize on it because they can't move quick enough. Right? It's they're so far behind on their emails. It's that's why they were able to go to Paris is like, you know, it skipped them. They moved on to new people. And he was like, I don't know, man. I gotten so many new emails. I got to deal with this. And it got buried in their inbox.
Oh, I have those emails. You know, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. There's, 2 months later, you're like, all right, well,
I didn't kill them yet.
Oh, no. So it's just time. So sorry about the delay. It's why I'm using porn mags to get my message across. I'm just working on the fly here. I forgot. It's just band-aiding things.
This death is getting a lot of as per my last email.
As per my last, yeah.
And that's just a final point for me on how bad this death is at telegraphing things. It plays John Denver anytime someone's about to die. It uses John Denver records as a harbinger of death. Seriously, before anybody...
What?
Before every single person in this movie dies...
Yeah.
They play... I don't know the song, but it's a John Denver song. When the guy dies in the shower...
Yeah.
It's like on the radio.
Right.
When the woman... the teacher dies.
She put the record on.
She's got the record on. It's John Denver. I don't know what it was for the girl. And then in Paris, the guy on the street is singing the John Denver song as the thing comes down. So everybody who dies in this movie, John Denver's on the radio. I think the radio comes on and John Denver starts playing on the radio when it gets struck by the train too. It's so obvious. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculously how unsubtle this death is.
Oh, well, I don't think this is a movie of subtleties.
No.
I will say that. I don't think I would agree with you that the least subtle being the guy handling the morgue. I would argue that's such a weird scene for me. So funny, though. What was I going to say? Just to reinforce these agents a little bit more, because I'm like, I just, and I'm wondering, I just want to pitch this one more time.
Yeah.
Did I miss a part where they were just like, oh, this is fine, you can leave, you're released forever? Because at the end, they're actively chasing him. They're trying to get him. He shows up to Claire's house, which I now realize I've been writing down as Claire the whole
makes
time.
Makes so much more sense.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes, I wrote down as Claire the entire time. That's why I was like, what was her name?
I think
electricity's bouncing off, and they're like, well.
Not how you handle a live wire. Everybody in that situation is dead. But no, I think the implication is that they see him try and sacrifice himself to save her.
Okay.
And they kind of see
instead of seeing maybe a man that was trying to electrocute her with two of these things in a very odd fashion.
Yeah. Did you see him grab a wire to save a girl, or did you see him chasing a girl around while carrying a live wire? You know, now that you mention it, it might have been that second one.
So I would say I was really with them up until the point where this guy is... I don't know, not very long after, traveling internationally. Not even are you detained. But get over to Europe, baby. Time to live your life. I just couldn't believe it. I was like, I get it for like storytelling and it's like circular and you ended up where you were supposed to be or whatever. But like, man alive, I'm like, if they thought you were a murderer, I think I need a little more of a bridge of explanation.
Absolutely. This movie feels like it's missing scenes.
Oh, yeah, I would agree with that. Yes.
Yeah, there feels like there was a scene between when they wrecked the car and when he's in the cottage lineup. Because I got to the end of the movie and I thought, did that asshole guy, Carter, did he die? Did I miss a scene where he died? Because, you know, in these movies, they go through people in order and they just jump straight to clear.
Yeah.
And him having to go. And then he shows up in Paris.
Yes.
And you go, oh, I guess I didn't miss that scene. Weird. He never really got a death attempt. Oh, it's
because the logic was that he was skipped, so he was okay.
Yeah.
And then when they were in Paris, he's like, wait a minute, there's a different pattern.
Whoa. Setting up a sequel. There we go.
Setting up a sequel, which, yeah, they really did find more horrifying ways to freak people out, I think. That, again, that tanning bed thing, I will never... Well, first of all, why?
Yeah.
What am I doing? Well, who is this for? What is this for? Like, this is just how I look. This isn't getting... It's this or lobster red. Which one do you want? You can choose.
Yeah.
And I'm also claustrophobic. So I'm like, that is... To put yourself into that situation, I just... I saw that movie once when I was a teenager when it came out, and that's still that one scene. I'm like, that's horrifying. Yeah,
and I will say for this series, I think to its credit, there is probably a scene like that for every single person. We're like, well, that's my worst nightmare. See you later.
Yeah, the logs coming off the back of the truck's a big one for people.
Oh, especially if you're a comedian traveling in Northern Ontario.
Jesus. Yes.
Yeah. I think that anything else we wanted to say about In Defense of Death?
In Defense of Death. I like, honestly, Craig, I like your defense the best. That's it's my favorite. I love it so much. I'm 100% on board with it.
My boss is going to kill me.
So funny. I love it. I love it.
So let's get to our definitive rankings of how good the villain is. What do you got, Rebecca?
Okay, so I've got things you wouldn't want possessed trying to kill you from a troll's doll, which I just think would be adorable. Can you imagine a little troll's doll trying to kill you? Hilarious.
I'm going on creepy, but yeah. I get where you're coming from.
You put it in a box, put it across the room from you, open up, come and get me. Hilarious. I would say to the most scary being your ex. Oh, probably being the most terrifying.
That's dark.
Yeah, it is dark. I went dark. I flipped and I flopped. I'm gonna give death an air conditioner. Okay.
Oh.
Yeah. Pretty frosty death. Some pretty frosty fucking deaths up in here. But you know, you're just doing your job. I get it.
There you go. Nice. And I did the. I had the likelihood of accidental death scale. So on a scale from household slips, trips, and falls, which are incredibly common, to being struck by a meteor, which is extremely unlikely, I'm going to give death, in this case, an accidental poisoning, because that stuff was around for a reason, right? It served some purpose. It had something important to do, and it had warnings about how dangerous it was, and you just shouldn't have kept the rat poison in the medicine cabinet. That's how good the villain is. And before we get to our heroes and villains of the week, guys, a couple ways you can support the podcast. As we mentioned, this is an audience choice episode. Once a month, we poll our patrons over at patreon.com/thevillainwasright to get an audience choice. And if you want to vote on what movies we're doing next month, come August, we do that every single month. So you can head over to patreon.com/thevillainwasright and sign up for our two-face level, which allows you to vote. And at our highest tier, just $7 a month, you also get two bonus episodes every month. Rebecca picks one, I pick one. This month we're doing Uncle Buck, and we did Cruella, the Disney Cruella. So if you want to hear us talking about that, head on over there and check it out. And if you want to get in touch with the podcast,
as always, you can hit us up on Twitter at VWR Podcast. Villain Was Right on Facebook, and villainwasright@gmail.com. If you want to get personal, you know what I mean? You want to slide into that inbox, you can hit us up there. Please give us your suggestions. We love suggestions. It makes our job easier. We want to do what you want to do. Yes, and now it is time for our Heroes and Villains of the Week. What do you got for us, Craig?
Yeah, so in the spirit of things randomly going wrong, my villain this week is, it's another Craig's Weird Body.
Yay!
So a little bit of backstory here. So our friend and producer, Andrew, has been helping me out a bunch where he is teaching me how to exercise. So I think I've mentioned on the podcast before that I had a big problem where I'll start working out, I'll start doing some exercises, and I invariably hurt myself. And it doesn't matter how many times you watch a YouTube video being like, make sure you use proper form. I can't tell whether my back is straight, is basically, like, you need someone there to tell you.
That's fair.
You know, so I'd get discouraged. So Andrew has very kindly decided, offered to help me to like set up a workout and like tell me what I'm doing wrong. Very, very generous. So we were out, we're just like out in a park doing it by his place. So we were out, I was helping him run some errands in the car, and we come back to his place and he's like, like the road's all torn up and stuff like that. So like street parking's a mess. And he's like, there is a building right behind mine that's vacant and they've got this parking lot and no one ever parks there. And like, they don't check. So just, you know, let's park there. So we park there and it's backs right onto his building. And there's just this little kind of hole in the fence between the two properties that you just, you know, scoot up through. Mm-hmm. But like the properties are about like a foot difference in grade, right? So there's like this little step up that you have to do. Not a problem. So we've got like our mats and like our water bottles and we like squeeze through and go and we work out in the park. And Andrew has me doing like all these fucking leg works out. This is like the first time we're meeting to do this. So he's showing me, he's like, okay, this is the exercise we're going to do. This is how you do it. Do this, do that. And I'm like, okay. So I'm learning and I'm like, man, I'm fucking exhausted. I am whipped right now. And then Andrew's like, okay, let's start the exercise. And I'm like, oh no. I'm already at like an 8, man. Like so we're doing squats and lunges and like all this sorts of thing. And I'm just like, I'm there to do this. So I'm like powering through it and I'm doing it. I am like, my legs are just fucking jelly afterwards. And like, we're all done and we're talking and he goes, yeah, I'll walk you to the hole in the fence. And
I'll
like,
walk you to the hole.
Yeah. So he's like, you know, find it. Cause like, you know, you don't want to be searching around the fence or whatever. So like we get to the hole and he's like, all right, man, thanks a lot. I was like, thanks a lot. Yeah, this is great. And we'll see you later. So then I go to squeeze this little hole in the fence to get down to the car. And as I said, there's about a foot difference. So I go to lower my body down and wouldn't you know it, I had nothing left in the tank. And my legs just, I put myself down a little bit. My legs just give out, like just give out. And I land on my ankle, it's like kind of a slope because it's like falling down. And I just roll my ankle as I'm falling and come down on it. So I just end up smacking right against the pavement, like my arms and elbows, knees, everything's great. I have to reiterate, the point of this exercise was to learn how not to hurt myself. So like my water bottle is like metal. It like clanks to the ground. It's like so loud. I'm yelling like, fuck. And I'm like, honestly, I broke my ankle is what I thought.
Okay.
I was like, I am so fucked. And like Andrew heard me fall and comes back. He's just like on the other end of the fence. Be like, you okay, buddy? I'm like, fuck. And then like 5 minutes later, my ankle is fine. My ankle's just like, yeah, man, it was us. Like, it was us before you. We just gave out because it was like, ankles first, baby. You know, we don't care what happens to your head. We don't care with your elbows or whatever. Preserve ankle at all costs.
Sometimes you just buckle. Like, yeah.
I was just laid out. hobbled back to the car, and like, you know, other than a couple scrapes and bruises, I was fine. Like, it was more embarrassing than anything, but I was just like, I cannot emphasize enough that the point of this was so I don't hurt myself anymore. And I just took the worst fall I've taken in forever. So that's my villain of the
week. That's funny. Oh my God. I've done that. I've buckled a few times in my life for sure. Okay. So for me this week, I'm going to give a story where I am truly the villain of this story. I think I've told a couple of those here.
Always love them.
Okay. And I might have mentioned this on the podcast before, but this, for what, it just because it, this movie's so plain heavy, it reminded me of the time. So right after, I think it was like right at the end of high school, we had like a, we had a trip. So we went to the Dominican. It was like with S trip or whatever, you know, cool. Saved up my money. I went and I had a blast. But the last day I went out that night and we went out all night. Like we just danced until like we, you know, when you open the club door and it's daylight and you're like, how did this happen?
Right.
So that's what happened. And I didn't sleep all night. Right. And we were like, you know what? It's our last day. Let's just keep going. Right. Okay. It's beautiful day out. Let's catch like they were just opening up breakfast at the resort. Let's get breakfast. We're going to hit the beach. I think our flight was at like 7 o'clock or something. I'm like, this is great. I'll sleep on the plane. Amazing. Let's do that. I make it. I burn myself to an absolute crisp though, because the whole week I'm like so careful with my sunscreen. Right. I haven't burnt. I've built up a false sense of confidence. And the last day I don't take care of it and just crisp myself. Right. So I'm tired. I'm crispy. I'm not good. Okay. But it's fine. We're going home. I've had a blast. I'm good. It's chill. Another thing I need to mention about myself personally is that when I wake up for the first couple minutes, there's a good chance I don't know where I am. I don't know where I am. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know who you are. It's like a whole thing. I get really chaotic. It takes me a few minutes to walk in.
Was I incepted?
Yeah, like literally, like that's what it is. Like there's, I need a few minutes to sort my shit out, right? I'm not good. And like, it's almost like, I swear to God, it's almost like I'm possessed. Like I've had full conversation. Like if you wake me up, you could have a full conversation with me. Yeah. I'll go back to bed. I will not remember a single word spoken. Okay, not one. And it'll be a full ass conversation. So I fell asleep on this plane immediately, of course, right? Oh, I should mention, this is very important. The woman beside me, I think is a little upset to be sitting beside me. She seemed very particular, okay? She had an aisle seat with her husband across the aisle. She wouldn't move for a baby, which isn't a big, like, I don't think it's like the end of the world, like, but the way she was explaining it was super rude, right? Like, you can just say, no, thank you. I really would like to sit with my husband. That's what I'm comfortable with. And we can move on, right? But she made a really big deal about how long ago she booked these tickets and, like, how dare you ask me that kind of thing. And I was like, well, this woman doesn't need this shit, right? But whatever, okay. I fall asleep. Do I fall asleep directly on this woman? Yes, I do. Okay. Directly on this one, hard sleep. So apparently, this, and I only know this because it was told to me later, much later, so she's looking at my friend that's sitting beside me like, hey, can you wake her up? Like your friend is sleeping on me, right? So she tries to wake me up and she's like, hey man, like, You're sleeping on this woman. And I just looked at her and I go, no, I'm not. And I fell right back asleep on this woman. All I said was, no, I'm not. And then proceeded to then again fall asleep on this stranger's shoulder. They woke me up again. Finally, for this one, I was like, oh, okay. Like, oh, whatever. Like, I just kind of came to. And she looked at me and she was like, you have to stop sleeping on me. And I was like, man, I just kind of like grumbled at her and turned my head and fell back asleep. So I think like 1000% I am the asshole in that story. Like that's a nightmare. But like the only thing that makes me feel a little less bad is she was such a dick to the flight attendant that I'm like, Yeah. And it wasn't that long of a flight, but I was like, oh no, I was definitely like full on asshole to that woman. No, I'm not. Like, I'm just like gaslighting her in her fucking face. Like, Jesus Christ. What a nightmare. Oh my God. I'm so glad I'm not 18 anymore.
Oh,
to be 18. All right. Anyway, guys, that's it for me. As always, you can follow me at Rebecca Reads on Instagram or Twitter.
Yeah. And you can follow me at Craig Faye Comedy on Facebook, Twitter as well. Yeah, guys, next week, we've got another great episode lined up for you. We are doing Sleepless in Seattle, Tom Hanks. And Rebecca's looking at me already.
I love it.
Meg Ryan, Tom Hanks. There we go. So tune in for that next week. And until then, this is The Villain Was Right, reminding you to always get your travel insurance.
The Villain Was Right was produced by Andrew Iveney for the From Superheroes Network. For more great podcasts like this, as well as YouTube series, webcomics, and so much more, visit FromSuperheroes.com.